Well, morning, everybody. And man, he didn't need a microphone. What a voice. I'm jealous now. I'm really jealous. Fantastic. Great to be with you. For me, the temperature's a little bit different. Last week, I was in India, speaking in India all week in 32 degrees. You know, it got really cold at night, 21 degrees. So this is a little bit different, but it's good to be in Holyhead. And great to be back with the Elim Church here for the second time. And I always say, I like to go everywhere twice, second time to apologize for the first time. So sorry about 2 years ago. Hopefully we'll do all right today. And I get to travel all over the place with my role within our churches. Many of you will know that the Elim churches were about 500 churches in the UK, thousands more across the world. And my role is to help our churches to do even better at serving their communities and showing the love of God to their communities. So I get to travel a lot. Recently, I was up in the northeast of England, you know, Newcastle, you know, that Geordie land. And there's a place just on the coast there called Whitley Bay. They say it's the Blackpool of the northeast. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And so I was in a church there, and I walked into the church for the Sunday morning service. And a man came up to me, a guy probably in his late 60s, early 70s. I'd been to that church a couple of years before. And he said, "Hi, Gary, nice to see you again." He said, "Piles." I said, "Pardon?" He said, "Piles." I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I hope I don't know what you're talking about. He said, "You know, hemorrhoids." I said, "Oh, I do know what you're talking about." I said, what about them? Because it's not the way you're normally greeted, is it? And he said, "I'm just very excited to let you know, when you were here 2 years ago, you prayed for me in the name of Jesus, and I was due to go into hospital to have an operation in that area. And amazingly, as you prayed, God healed me. And I went back to the doctors, no problem, all sorted, all made better, and I've not needed the operation." And I said, "Well, that's great. And thank God I didn't lay hands on you in that particular area at the time, you know." So, you know, God's still in the business of doing marvelous things in the 21st century. You know, someone said there are four different types of people in the world when it comes to God. There are people who do not believe in God. That could be where you're at this morning. I don't know. There are people who are not sure whether God exists or not. If you don't believe in God, that's called an... begins with A and ends in theist. Atheist, that's right. If you're not sure whether God exists, that's called being agnostic. That literally means ignoramus, but please don't get offended. Thirdly, there are people who believe in God. And then there's people like many of us here this morning, because we don't believe in God. We believe in a living God. Okay? In other words, we don't believe in a God who somehow created the universe and wound it up like a big alarm clock and just walked away. We don't believe in that sort of God. We believe in a God who still intervenes into the affairs of human beings in the 21st century. Is that okay? And so I'm thinking about another occasion in nearer to here, Telford. You know where Telford is? Just this side of Wolverhampton, isn't it? And again, one of our churches, I was there a while ago. And at the end of the service, we were praying for people, asking God to do what only God can do. Because I can't heal anybody. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. But God's in that business. And this young woman came forward, probably in her early 20s. She was a British person, but from an Asian background. She was from the Sikh faith. You know, the Sikh faith where the men wear turbans? So she'd been brought by her sister, who was a Christian, to this meeting and this service. And she came forward for prayer. I said, "What can I pray for you?" She said, "I've got severe problems in my spine and with my back." And I said, "Okay, how does that affect you?" She said, "Well, I'm just stiff and in pain. I can't bend at all." So we prayed together and asked Jesus to do something for her. And so after I'd prayed, I said to her, "How would you know? How would you know whether anything's changed?" And she said, "Oh, that's very simple. All I have to do is bend down." I said, you know, with straight legs. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Look, put your hands at the top of your legs and start going down. And if it hurts, stop." Because we're not, you know, we're not into mind games here. You know, we're not into mind over matter. You know, so I said, "If it hurts, stop." She ended up with her palms of her hands, straight legs, flat on the floor. I can't do it because I'm 63, you know, but I mean, she was like, and I remember as she came back up, she was like this, like in shock, you know. And I said, how's that? Is it better? She went, you know, like this. And I said to her then, I said, listen, would you like to meet the person who just made you well? Because it wasn't me, it's Jesus. And with tears streaming down her cheek, she just nodded. And the greatest miracle that that young woman experienced that particular day was not her back being healed. That was marvelous. But the greatest miracle was this, that her friendship with God was healed. And that God became, rather than God being someone distant that she did believe in, God became a reality in her experience. So listen, I don't know what brings you to church this morning. Maybe you're here because you come to Holyhead Elim Church every or most Sundays. I don't know. Maybe this is your first time ever in this church. But whatever your situation, whatever brings you here today, one thing I'm sure about is that it's not an accident. It's not simply a coincidental thing that you and I are here in this church service this morning, because I believe that the God who loves you, the God who's a powerful living God, he wants to speak right into your individual situation because he knows you. We heard female over here was just prayed out and said she believed that God was saying someone here. Who prayed that prayer? This lady. Yeah. About someone being in darkness, was it? And coming to Jesus and finding what you need. Fantastic, because that you didn't know this, but that we're going to read something about someone in exactly that situation this morning. So some of you may have Bibles with you, either hard copies or on your phones or whatever. So if you have, you might want to turn with me to Mark's Gospel. Please don't worry if you haven't got a Bible. I'm going to read it anyway. But this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Again, you know, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we're in Mark's Gospel, story of Jesus. Mark chapter 5, and let me read this story to you, and then we'll unpack it very quickly this morning. And then at the end of what I want to say, we're going to believe that the God of miracles can do miracles amongst us this morning. Is that okay? All right. So Mark chapter 5, verse 24. This is what it says. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, okay? So here he is. He's at the height of his fame, Jesus Christ. Lots of people are jumping on the Jesus bandwagon because of the marvelous words that he says and the miracles that are happening. And Mark says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, it seems as if this woman had been suffering for 12 years with some sort of internal hemorrhaging, you know, like a woman's problem. And this had been going on for 12 long years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now listen, 2,000 years ago, doctors were not like 21st century doctors. I mean, generally, they were quacks. You know, they had all sorts of strange remedies. So, for example, for somebody with this woman's condition, there were two remedies that they recommended at that time, okay? The first was to drink a glass of wine, and into the glass of wine, you stirred powdered rubber and crushed crocus bulbs, okay? Powdered rubber, crushed crocus bulbs in a glass of wine, drink that, and your bleeding will stop, madam. She tried that. It didn't work. The other cure that they recommended was this. Get hold of an ostrich's egg, right? Get hold of an ostrich's egg, just the outside, the shell, and burn it in the fire, and then put all the pieces of the ostrich's egg into a piece of cloth, tie it together, and carry it around with you, madam. And that will solve your problem. I mean, literally, that was the sort of cues that were on offer 2,000 years ago. And Mark says, instead of getting better, she grew worse. Not surprising, is it? When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, listen to this, it's great. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Just by the way, just out of interest, this was written in Greek originally. And when he said, "Who touched my clothes?" The "who" is feminine. Okay? Because he knew. He knew who it was. But he wanted her to know that he knew that she knew that he knew. Okay? "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, who touched me? There's loads of people here, Jesus." But Jesus kept looking around to see who'd done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Isn't that brilliant? What a fantastic story. And ladies and gentlemen, because the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever, that he's still in the business of doing wonderful things for people. What I want to do is I want to hang what I say this morning on that story of that woman. She was in a dark place. Yeah, because not only was she physically ill, but because of the nature of her illness, she was rejected by everybody else. She was classed as being unclean in that culture. And so she couldn't be around normal people. She was isolated. She felt rejected. So she had a broken body, but she also had a broken heart. Nobody cared about her. She could never have a relationship with a man or marriage or any of that. Also, there was probably a smell associated with it. I'm sorry to be graphic, but that's what was going on at that particular time. Broken body, broken hearted, and a broken relationship with God. She felt like God couldn't accept her because of her condition. Of course, he could, but she'd been taught something different. See what I mean? So what I'd like you to do, if you would with me this morning, I'd like you to try and see yourself in this story. And I'll explain, I'll unpack it as we go along. Try and see yourself in this story and see how it is that God wants to, in the person of Jesus, wants to reach you as you reach out to him. And when I've finished, I'm going to invite you, if you are willing and able and ready, I'm going to invite you to make a response to Jesus in just a similar way to this, the way this woman made a response all those years ago. So here are four, let me give you this morning, four invitations. Just out of this story, four invitations, and see what you think about these invitations. And see whether you this morning can RSVP to God from these invitations. The first is this. Can you realize this morning that just like this woman, you're just one person in a crowd, okay? I mean, here we are this morning. You're sitting there amongst a sea of faces. Well, not a pond of faces this morning. You're just one person out of, I don't know how many we've got here this morning, 50, 60 people. And you're just one person in a crowd, just like that woman. But here's the deal. God knows all about you. Yeah? God knows all about you. Maybe nobody else does. Nobody else knows your story. Nobody knows your history. Nobody knows your fears, your longings, your aspirations, what's going on in your life. But God knows all about it. We read in the story, it says, a large crowd were pressing around him and a woman was there. Lots and lots of people, but there was this one person. There was a woman there. Just imagine with me for a moment that rather than being in church this morning, imagine we were at the cinema. And we're all sitting down and the lights go down. And on the screen, a film starts called This Is Your Life. And what happens is the film that we're watching is the story of your life from the moment you were born right up until now. For some of us, that would be a long film, right? But just imagine that what we see on there are the highlights and actually the lowlights of all the years while you've been on the planet. Everything that you've ever been involved in, and even the thoughts that you've had, And the words that you've said in private are fully on the screen for everybody here to see this morning. Question, what would you be thinking right now? How would you be feeling right now? Huh? I mean, the good things, but also the bad stuff. And it's all being displayed on the screen for everyone to see. That would be quite embarrassing, wouldn't it? In all sorts of ways. Well, here's the thing. The God who created you, the God who made this world, the God who created every human being on the planet and made you in particular, he's seen it all. He's seen the whole film. From the moment you were born, right until this moment, he knows every thought that you've had. He knows every word that you've spoken. He knows every situation that you've been in. He's seen the whole show. And yet here is the astonishing thing, the remarkable thing. He still loves you. He still loves you. Even though you and I, we may have all sorts of regrets. You know, when we think back, we think, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't got myself into that situation. I wish I'd have done that different. If I could get into a time machine, you know, get in the TARDIS and go back, that I'd do it differently if I had the time again. But of course, that's not possible. But here's the thing. God, who knows all that stuff, he loves you like the best dad. The best dad in the whole world would love his kids. That's the sort of God that he is. Do you remember Jesus said when you pray like this, Our Father. Our Father is a dad. And he's a good, good father. He loves you. And even more than that, I want to say to you this morning, not only does he love you, he likes you. God likes you. He may not like some of the things that we've done, to be honest, but because he's a heavenly father, he likes you. Yeah? Just like a good dad would be with his kids. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So you're one person in the crowd this morning, but he knows the whole story. And because he loves you, he wants you to experience that love. He wants you to know him. Not simply to know about him. Lots of people in this world know things about God. They've been educated about God, sometimes a little bit in school or, you know, at college or university or through their reading. But here's the difference. It's not just knowing about God. You can know him. As a father this morning, you can have that incredible privilege of knowing God. So realize that even though you're just one person in a crowd, he knows all about you and he loves you and he likes you. The second thing is this, an invitation this morning. Now, this is difficult, right? But an invitation to admit that you need help. An invitation to admit to yourself and to God that you need help. You see, we can't solve everything ourselves. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootlaces. This woman in the story, for 12 years, she'd had this problem. For 12 years, she'd had this terrible issue going on in her life. And no one else could help her. Yeah, some things we can sort out ourselves, but there are some things that go on for years and years and years. Bad habits, wrong attitudes, weaknesses in our lives, you know, some areas of morality that we've never really worked through, and we just can't change as much as we try. Anybody ever made New Year's resolutions? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, even simple things like that sometimes doesn't work. So, what's your biggest problem this morning? Is it that you need a new job? I mean, that's a real issue for some people, isn't it? And I don't want to decry that at all. Or is it, you know, the biggest problem is finding a deposit for a house or for rental purposes? Or if you're a single person, is the biggest challenge finding the right person to spend your life with? All those things are important and have their place. But the Bible says the biggest issue for every single human being on the planet is a little three-letter word. And the middle letter is I. Huh? Just in case anybody thought I meant sex. Okay? The middle letter is I. Sin. Okay? And actually that middle letter tells you what it's really all about. It's about I. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not a sinner. I've never robbed a bank. I've never mugged anybody. And it's misunderstanding what we're talking about. And then some people say, oh, well, you know, we've all done little things wrong, haven't we? Ho, ho, ho. As if it's a trivial thing. But when the Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, what it means is this: that God has wanted us to live our lives with him, for him, to know him, to know his power and his goodness and his love in our lives. God's wanted us to go this way, and every single one of us, every single human being on the planet, to a greater or lesser degree, we've all said, right, well, I'm going this way. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to be the captain of my own destiny. Now, I'm a minister, a vicar, and so from time to time I take funerals. Do you know what one of the most popular songs is to be played at the crematorium at the end of a funeral? Yeah, I Did It My Way. And partially I get it, but also I'm thinking, what? At the very end of your life, okay, the Bible says we've all got two appointments to keep. One's with death. You and I, we've got, statistically, we've got a 1 in 1 chance of dying. Hello? Yeah? And the second appointment is with judgment, with God's evaluation of our lives. And when we're at that point, when we're about to come face to face with the God that we may believe in or not believe in, but that doesn't change the issue, what are we saying? Stuff you, God. I did it my way. I just pleased myself. I rebelled against you, my creator, and did it my own way. We were never meant to live that way. We were meant to live. The best way to live in God's world is God's way. Think about it. If there is a God who created this world, who created human beings, who loves us and wants us to walk with him, that's certainly the best way for us to live our lives. And yet we've turned our backs on him. It's something that we've all done. Now, you might be here this morning, you say, well, Gary, okay, maybe I've made some mistakes in my life, but I'm not that bad. I mean, actually, compared to everybody else, I'm pretty good. Heard a story about a farmer. This could have been in Snowdonia, just on the bottom of the mountains there. This farmer was in his house one day, big picture window in the farmhouse, and he's standing there looking across the valley at his sheep on the other side of the valley, and his little daughter was standing next to him, 5 years of age. And she's looking out the window with her dad and looking at the sheep and telling her dad how beautiful his sheep are. Beautiful and white and lovely. And just as they're talking, a snowstorm comes sweeping up the valley. And within the space of 10 minutes, the whole valley was carpeted with pristine white snow. And this little 5-year-old girl is still looking out the window, and she's amazed. Because these sheep that 10 minutes ago were so beautifully white are filthy. What had changed? The only thing that had changed was the background from being green grass to beautifully white drifted snow. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When we look at our lives and we look at human beings around us, you know, quite rightly, many of us could say, well, you know, I do my best. I do my best, you know, I try and live a good life. I give money to charity. I show little old grannies across the road, whether they want to cross or not. You know, I do all that. But here's the thing. Relative to other people, maybe you're doing well. But when the background is this holy, pure, perfect God, oh boy, we are such a mess. We are such a mess. And that's why we need Jesus to rescue us. That's why we need Jesus to make a difference in our lives. So here's the third invitation this morning. We're one person in a crowd. We've got needs and a particular need to being rescued. The third invitation is this, very simple. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just as you are, with all the hang-ups and issues and questions and problems and weaknesses and habits and all of that. Do you know, one of the wonderful things is this. You don't have to sort out your own life and then come to Jesus. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, I'm really interested in Christianity. I'll just go away and try and put things in order and then maybe God will accept me. Here's the brilliant thing. God accepts you just as you are. You can come to him just as you are. This woman, she had this massive problem going on in her life, but she said, if I can just come to Jesus, if I can just touch him, if I can just push my way through this crowd and get to Jesus. And by the way, she was doing something positive. She wasn't standing on the edge of the crowd and saying, well, I'm here and Jesus is there, and if he happens to come by, well, maybe something will happen. No, 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 no. She was very proactive about this. I need to come to Jesus, she said, and then I'll find what I need. The Bible says this, no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. No matter how many promises he's made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that Jesus has done all that's necessary to give you a fresh start. That's why front and center in the Christian faith stands the cross. The cross of Jesus. And when Jesus of Nazareth was nailed to the cross, when those big pieces of metal were hammered through his wrists and feet, as Jesus hung on the cross, what was God saying? What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, hey, I'll take the blame for all of that rebellion, for all of that selfishness, for all of the sin of the human race. I'll take the blame. I'll pay the penalty for all of it, so that people can know what it is to be declared not guilty. So people can know what it is to start life all over again. And I want to say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't remember anything else that this guy's been saying this morning, remember this. Jesus Christ cared so much about you that he wasn't willing to stop short of even giving his life on the cross for you. Jesus died for you. He gave everything he had for you. You can't give any more. He gave 100% for you so you could know what it is to start over again. And the challenge for every one of us is simply this. How much are we willing to give back to him? 10%? 50? Do you know, he deserves and he demands the whole of my life. There's a very famous hymn called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Do you remember that? Love so amazing, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I was talking to somebody a while ago. They said, I tried Christianity. It didn't work. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, no, you didn't. They said, yeah, I did. I said, no, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I said, no, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I said, say it again, I'll punch you. No. I said, listen, you don't try Christianity. It's not like stamp collecting. It's not like train spotting. You know, you don't try it and think, oh, I'll try something else. You know, this is about a God who's given everything for you. Huh? When I got married, I didn't stand at the front of the church thinking, well, I'll try this for a few weeks, see if it works. You know, I was saying, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, until death parts us. My wife always says, divorce has never been an option. Murder has. But that's how it works when I give my all to Jesus, just like he's given his all for me. Are you with me? He died for you. But listen, it gets even better. Today, he lives for you. Today, this morning, Jesus Christ lives for you. 3 days after he was crucified, God, with his incredible power, said, that's enough. And he raised his son from the dead, smashing the power of death to pieces and making it possible in the 21st century for us to know him. Because he's alive. He smashed the power of death. He's alive. And therefore, we can know him and we can know his power to change us. See, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I didn't go to church or anything. But at the tender age of 17, quite a long time ago now, on a geography field course in the Nantgwynant Valley in Snowdonia, one of the fellow students from my school took a deep breath one night and shared with me that she was following Jesus. And she didn't know, but I was desperate to find out, who am I? Why am I here? What is my life all about? You know, where's it all going? And everybody else would have looked at me and thought, you know, Gary's the life and soul of the party. He's having a great time. I was a sportsman. I was head boy of the school. Do you know, I come from a happy family. But inside, I was empty. I was empty. And I remember a short time afterwards praying one day and saying, Jesus Christ, if you're real, like Alison says you are, and if you can really make a difference, like she says, Lord, I need you to do that for me. Do you know what? He did. I mean, I was shocked. My parents were shocked. My girlfriend was shocked. My friends were shocked. I think God was a bit shocked. No, at all. You know, God knew all along that he had the power to change my life. And he has the power to change your life as well and turn bad into good, wrong into right, and to recreate you into the person that he always intended you should be. Yeah? Yeah? The Bible says that when someone becomes a Christian, God makes them brand new. All the old has gone. Everything's become new. And all this is from God. Listen, that's not a theory. I know that's true. Because that's what he did for me. And he continues to do it for me today. So I want to implore you, if I could do that this morning, to come to Jesus, even today. Like I said, we're not here coincidentally. We're not here accidentally. God, even through the faltering lips of a human being, wants to tell you how much he loves you, tell you how much he cares, and invite you to come to him and find life like you would never believe. Here's the last thing. Are you okay for one more? Okay. The last invitation is this: to find what you've been looking for. Find what you've been looking for. Just reminds me, do you remember a band that used to be very famous called U2? They still are, actually. One of my favorite bands. And Bono sang about 20 years ago, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It became an anthem, really, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And it was the cry of a generation, maybe of every generation. It's almost like we instinctively, we know that there must be more than this. There must be more than just getting up in the morning, you know, getting dressed, eating our breakfast, going to work or whatever we do during the day, eating food, and then going to bed that night and getting up the next day and continuing the same thing, like a little hamster going round and round in a wheel and getting nowhere. Do you know what I mean? We just instinctively know there's got to be more to life than that. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's his promise. This woman in the story, when she came to Jesus, when she reached out and touched him, it said, did you notice it said, power went out from him. Yeah? The power of his love, the power of his healing, the power to change. This woman, she found healing. Healing for her broken body. Healing for that broken heart that had been smashed to pieces because of her ailment. Healing of her friendship with God. She found peace. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Peace instead of all that turmoil, all that angst that had gone on in her life for so many years. And now, oh, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, speaks peace to you this morning. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever the turmoil is, whatever the difficulties, he wants you to know peace. And freedom. Go in peace, he said, and be freed. And be freed from your suffering. Freedom to start life over again. Question, what do you need? What do you need this morning? Because whatever you need, as long as it's legit, Jesus wants to come and help you. And so, here's where we come at the end. Are you ready this morning to come to Jesus? Are you willing to come to Jesus? Because here's the thing, God's a gentleman, he loves you, and he never forces you to do anything. It's a free will choice. And you might be here this morning, you might say, Gary, do you know, I need to find out more, I'm not ready yet, but I want to find out more. And that's fine, I get that. But one thing I'm certain of is this, that for some person here this morning, you know, this is it. This is your time to say a big yes to coming to Jesus. not holding back, even though it's a bit scary, isn't it? It's a bit scary to take that step of faith. Do you remember he said, daughter, your faith. To put your trust in him, it's a scary thing. But what about taking that step this morning and saying a big yes to Jesus? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in a moment for those of you who may be ill or have some ailments, some sicknesses this morning. We're going to pray and ask God to do what only God can do in that area. But before we go there, I want to pray that you might experience the greatest miracle, which is not the healing of your body, it's the healing of your friendship with God. So I'm going to pray a prayer that's very similar to the prayer that I prayed, I guess, when I was 17, all those years ago. And here's what I want to suggest we do. I'd like to ask you, everybody, would you pray this prayer with me, line by line? Is that okay? I know many of you here would already have made that decision to follow Jesus, to give your life to Jesus many years ago, but it's always good to recommit, isn't it? And so for you, that's what it will be. It's almost like a reminder of something that happened many years ago or many months ago, who knows. But if you're that person here this morning, as far as you know, you've never taken that step of faith and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your past, you've never asked Jesus to become real in your experience and give you the power to change, well, I can't think of any better time or place than right here, right now in church to do that. So we're all going to pray this prayer together out loud, if that's okay, line by line. I'll say a line and then you repeat it with me. And it's a prayer of commitment. It's a prayer that says three things. Sorry, thank you, please. God, I'm sorry for walking away from you. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me. God, please, come into my life and make a change. And if you feel you can pray that with me, that's fine, okay? And let's see what God wants to do in your life. So let's pray together. You don't have to close your eyes to pray, but I want to suggest we do that this morning, just so you can think carefully about all that you've heard this morning and all you've experienced. And before we pray that prayer, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for every single person gathered here today. You know them. You know their story. You know how they feel right now. You know what's going on in their lives. And Father, I want to pray in the name of Jesus that even in these next few moments, you would give them the courage, just like that woman in the story, the courage to come to Jesus and to find you, Lord, to be all that they ever wanted and all that they ever needed. So here's that prayer. And if you can, would you pray it with me line by line out loud? Here it is. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And I want to say that I'm sorry. And I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for turning away from you. I'm sorry for turning away from you. I'm sorry for pleasing myself. I'm sorry for pleasing myself. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking the blame that should have been mine. Thank you for taking the blame that should have been mine. Thank you that I can be forgiven. Thank you that I can be forgiven. And thank you that you are alive now. And thank you that you are alive now. And so I come to you. And so I come to you. And I'm asking you, please. And I'm asking you, please. Pour your forgiveness into my life. Pour your forgiveness. Make me clean inside. Make me clean inside. Pour your love into my heart. Pour your love into my heart. I want to know you. I want to know you. And give me your power to change. And give me your power to change. Make me brand new. Make me brand new. And Lord Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow you all the days of my life. All the days. Thank you for hearing my prayer. thank you for hearing my prayer. And thank you for answering it. Thank you for answering it. In your name, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's just stay with our eyes closed and our heads bowed for a moment. Because I know that there's someone here this morning, maybe a number of people, who've just prayed that prayer for the first time. As far as you know, you've never really prayed that sort of a prayer before, of commitment to Jesus. And if that's you, I would like to say a prayer for you and ask God to really help you as you start on this great adventure of following Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Wherever you're seated, as we stay in prayer for a moment, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise a hand, slip a hand high into the air as a way of saying to God, God, here I am. I prayed that prayer and I'm not ashamed of the fact. And of course, God will see that. I will see it from where I'm standing here, so I will know who I'm including in the prayer. You see what I mean? So I know many of you have prayed that prayer many times in the past. You don't need to do this. But if you know that as far as you're aware, that's the first time you've really prayed like that, I would love to say a prayer for you right now. So if that's you, would you do that? Raise a hand high in the air. Let me see it, and let me pray for you. Thanks. Just keep your hands up for a moment, if you would, and then I'll know who I'm praying for. Just keep your hand up for a moment. I'm just waiting a second because sometimes people prayed and they think, oh boy, my arms have just turned into two lumps of lead. But just take that step of faith like the woman in the story. Raise a hand as if you're reaching out to God. God, here I am. And let me know who I'm praying for. Okay, God bless you. Would you take your hands down? Let me pray for you. For each one of these people, Lord, who are saying that big yes to you, I thank you that you've promised you'll never leave them and you'll never let them down. And Father, I pray that in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, they would find you to be all that they ever wanted, all that they ever needed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Folks, open your eyes. Fantastic. Well, we've just seen the biggest miracle we're going to see this morning, so I thought we'd go for some smaller ones, if that's okay. If you're one of the people who raised your hand, before you leave church this morning, there's going to be coffee and tea at the back as we finish our service in a moment. By the way, Karen, could you just get on the keys? What I'd like to do is just shake your hand and say, well done, fantastic. And also give you a little copy of this booklet called The Big Welcome, Experiencing God's Welcome. I wrote this a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, and it just goes through all that we've been talking about this morning. Just an early Christmas gift for you to take away and have a read and remember that. So if you were one of those people who raised your hand while we're all milling around at the end, come and get one of these from me. Say hi. That would be fantastic. I'll be really pleased.